Welcome to the tax update for the week beginning 28th October. We've got four interesting items this week, the first of which is a case about whether or not the default surcharge penalty imposed at 15% for being a day late was a breach of human rights and possibly a breach of the doctrine of proportionality. It's a bad case for the taxpayer to have taken because in Giley Green versus Revenue and Customs, the company had a history of poor compliance and was consistently late. And to accumulate a 15% default surcharge penalty means that the company had in fact been late with its VAT payments on five occasions previously. It arranged to pay late on a Friday night after banking hours had closed, and the due date was the 7th of October 2012 for electronic VAT payments, but the money didn't get to HMRC until the 8th of October, so it was a day late. The company was given every opportunity to show that the delay was outside its control and that it was the bank, HSBC, that was responsible for the delay, but it didn't introduce any evidence, and that's critical. Not surprisingly, therefore, as the company couldn't show it had a reasonable excuse and that it wasn't outside its control, the company's history was relevant, and with a history of poor compliance in the past, the tribunal found that the 15% penalty, which was over £5,000 of a penalty for being one day late, was apposite and therefore collectible by HMRC. We've also seen tax avoidance receiving a great deal of publicity, with the Alliance Boots getting adverse publicity because they reduced the tax bill in the UK by structuring the organisation in such a way that it has a great deal of debt overseas and the interest in that debt reduces its taxable profit. As a result, the unions have called for a reconsideration of the UK tax regime, but let's stop there. That means they're really proposing to disallow commercial interest. And I think we need to be very careful here because as practitioners, you've got to give advice on how to mitigate tax liability. And if it's legal to do so, you've got to do it. If you don't, you could be sued by the client. And I think for the future, we've got to stop this very ill-informed rhetoric about tax avoidance and sit down and have a mature debate deciding what reliefs we consider appropriate and should be available and what are not. Now, in what is a very interesting decision, Barbara Mosdale, sitting as the judge at the First Year Tribunal, has decided that mandatory electronic filing of VAT returns, but it would also apply to pay-as-you-earn returns, is in fact unreasonable. And HMRC to a certain extent has recognised this by providing exceptions such as those who object to computers on religious grounds, but they also by concession, which is not widely publicised, recognise that some people may not be able to file or pay electronically for other reasons. And the case that came before the courts is that of really four related cases. L.H. Bishop. Now, as usual, these notes are accompanied, this podcast is accompanied by some detailed notes, and the notes themselves then contain links to the original decisions. And in the case of whether or not it's reasonable to impose mandatory electronic filing and payment, there's apparently about another 100 taxpayers have filed appeal notices against the imposition of online filing. It's a very detailed decision and very, very lengthy, over 930 paragraphs, but it's a very interesting read. And in essence, the tribunal has concluded that HMRC are being unreasonable in imposing mandatory filing and mandatory payment because it discriminates against the elderly, the ill-educated, the computer illiterate, and the disabled, and therefore it should be read carefully by all practitioners. Finally, the employment NIC allowance, which will kick in from 6th April 2014, and allows an employer to reduce the employer's Class 1 secondary contribution bill by up to £2,000 a year, is now getting publicity and guidance. And it should be easy to claim this using standard payroll software, so the notes contain links. It's expected that up to 450,000 small employers will no longer pay the Class 1 secondary contribution for 2014-2015, so it may well be relevant to a lot of your clients. Thanks very much for listening.